Welcome to the Williams Meekin Why Be Hurtin' phone conference line.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning to you.
And back at you both.
With bright shining faces. Oh dear.
Such
oh dear.
A musical group.
There you go, Steve. Steve, we sure appreciate your recording these.
I hope somebody listens to them.
I think they do. Okay. I've got the pictures up. It's a different kind of day today. So,
there they are.
Hi, guys.
Good morning. Who was that?
Joan.
Good morning, Joan. From?
Silicon.
Silicon. I'm glad you said that. I always try to figure out how to say it. Silicon. I kind of want to say something else. I won't even say it. But it won't be catching. It's somebody else catching it. Silicon. And where might Silicon be for those who might not know?
It's in the state of Washington, between Tacoma and Olympia. It's on the water. And sometimes you can see Vashon Island.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes. You have to be up where the old hospital was.
Okay, I can look out and I can see the bay over there, where the log lumber mill is and everything, but I don't know where to look to see Silicon. Maybe you can't see this part. So we are sitting up. So good morning, everybody. This is Ruth Williams calling you from Vashon, Washington. Mary Lou is on vacation in the state of Washington from Arizona, seeing her family. So who else do we have on the call with us today who, not obviously from all these little chimes, we have quite a few people who are not yet on the WebEx. If you have a problem getting on and we can help you, we'd be glad to do so. Who might be up there?
Good morning, Ruth. This is Margaret.
Good morning, Margaret. From?
Tennessee.
From Tennessee. Great.
A warm and hot, sunny day in Tennessee. Beautiful.
And
who
Nancy.
Else do we have?
Nancy in Houston.
Good morning, Nancy. Glad to have you here.
Morning.
Okay, are you guys ready for this day?
Ruth, just wait a second and I'll record the WebEx.
Okay. Oh, okay, thank you. It's not got special pictures today. We'll have similar ones, but...
Ruth... Yesterday, I was talking to a lady who I found out she'd been out sick with high blood pressure and her heart, and she was trying to lose some weight. She was very interested in eating healthy and all those things, so I suggested she might join us, but she works, and she can't be on the live call. So she told me she would be on the recorded call, so I thought, I explained the block chart to her. I'm going to send her a copy. Or direct her, get a copy of that, but when, you know, there's a spot on there that is not colored, what, there are a few points, a few white, so how do you explain that one?
That's a good question. You're right, broccoli.
Why don't
I shouldn't be able to know what color to make that one.
Why don't you print it off and give her one?
Yeah, I'm going to.
So she wants me to get these colored up. I can do that today.
Okay.
For most of them. I like fennel over here. I'm not...
Oh, we've got to do that.
Purple.
Got mushroom, mustard green.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, thank you for calling that to my attention.
Well, thank you.
Black ones that didn't have anything in it because we just don't have that many. Things that if you have something that you would like to know, you can see that I on this slide that I have we have a lot of blocks or rectangles that have no no food in them. And
yes.
There are some foods that you would like to have in there. You can email that to me, but you probably should also tell me what pH it has so that I'll know what color to paint it.
But so, I think it's very self-explanatory. It's a great chart.
Oh, thank you. Looking, it's recorded. You know, for those who are not looking, thank you, Steve. For those who are looking at this chart right now, it does tell us the pH, both the pH and the glycemic load type of thing, and how much of it to eat, according to Dr. Barry Sears in his block program, which we use, and people liked it so well that we decided to combine them. And so now, we kind of skipped over here without our introduction, but so now we have right now showing the protein one. And I like showing it first because it tells us that women should have 3 blocks each of each carbohydrates, protein, and fat per meal, having 3 meals a day. And our snack would be just 1 block. And men should have 4 blocks each, carbohydrate, protein, fat, and 3 meals a day. And so we are going back and finding that's a good guide for us to know how much to eat. Just looking at the pH value, which is what the colors represent, tells us which foods are of which pH value here, from yellow, green, to blue, and up to the most alkaline being represented by purple, so that we can help to balance our pH. And we're not trying to just eat all the alkalines, but we're balancing, staying away mostly from the most acidic. But there are foods that are good for us that are acidic. We just have to balance with the alkaline. And so we make these choices and have this information to be able to help us. And we also have a carbohydrate chart, which is on the screen now. And it shows the favorable carbohydrates up here at the top, which are lower of glycemic load. And so that you can have more of them. So, for instance, if you wanted to have all turnip greens here, it's a blue of color, so that would be very alkaline, but not the most alkaline, very good for us. You could have 4 cups times 3 for women, so you would be able to have 12 cups of turnip greens, and men would be able to have 16 cups. Aren't you guys lucky? Now, of course, we don't expect you to eat all of one thing. As a matter of fact, even you can even split the blocks up and have only 2 cups, and so then you can have more different things to eat at the same time, especially if you're having a salad. But down here on the bottom of this chart, the unfavorable carbohydrate charts, and I want to add that Shar Rogers did put this chart together to begin with the glycemic load and with the blocks, and she got that primarily from Dr. Barry Sears' zone program. And so we want to give recognition to that. And then I just merged together the information with pH values so that we could see them both at the same time. Okay, so down here on the bottom.
Yes.
Yes.
This is incredible. When did you do this?
Oh, when we started the program in January.
My goodness. I have not seen this block before or else I've been blind. But this is fantastic.
This is what we've been looking at for the last week or two here, Karen. Maybe you haven't been looking at it. I don't know.
I guess not, but I didn't.
I thought you already told me how much you liked it, but I love your enthusiasm. Okay, so, but if you want to eat refried beans, well, here you are. You only get 1/4 of a cup because of the glycemic load. And so, but you can have 3 blocks of 1/4 of a cup. If you're a woman, then you get 3/4 of a cup. And if you're a man, you get the whole cup. Now, so we suggest that you mix and match all your foods so that you don't have to eat all one thing for your meal and not eat all your blocks in the refried beans or in the turnip greens. So you can make a good meal. It always upset me that I only got a little tiny bit. 1 tablespoon of raisins. My goodness. Okay, I better eat something other than raisins, wouldn't you think? Okay, that's not what we're talking about today, but I was planning to talk about once we go back to the beginning of our call, and we have a mission to teach and support the practice of habitual health style choices, becoming more mind and body fit. We do talk about the effects of inflammation, chronic inflammation in our body. Inflammation does happen to help us to heal and fight germs, and that's normal. That's what we're supposed to do. However, we have the problems of the epidemic of all these diseases, and it has now been discovered and realized that the common denominator for all of these diseases is an inflammatory problem. So we talk about that on this call, and we also talk about 10 points to help us to stay healthy. We're just going to buzz over a couple of points. We talk about these charts and helping us guide us to be able to do that. And we talk about, if you're out and you don't have your chart, well, just load up your plate, not too full. We have two plates on this chart, which is on the YB Hurton website, ybhurton.com website. You can copy it off from there. And so you load it up, one-third the protein and grain and two-thirds the fruits and vegetables. And no grain for the breakfast is what we're recommended from Kathy Abascal. And I really agreed with her because that makes such a difference to me and how I feel. I'm not positive that having no grains for breakfast makes that much difference for everyone. But if I eat my grains later in the day, they work just fine for me, but it really takes my energy away if I eat them for breakfast. And that's what she recommended in her book, which was pretty amazing to me because I didn't know it was anybody else besides me that was having this problem. Okay, here we are. On this screen that we're showing right now, there's an ostrich looking you dead in the eye here. He's a big one. And he says, what type of a bird am I? That's the question we want to ask ourselves. Today, I suggest and lead to you a different kind of a discussion. The discussion. Number one, is this something we should occasionally discuss things like this? Is this something we should discuss, in other words? Is this real? And the third question particularly is, what can we do about it? What should we do about it? Okay. We have a health care concern. Is this a health care concern for us? Governments or those in power having great concern for the future of our species? Make the decisions of who shall not survive. So we're familiar with Hitler and his experiments to eliminate those who do not meet up to his standards. We've seen films of Stalin's elimination of people by natural causes. I've seen a little movie of them. Starvation after Stalin burned their crops and taxed them for most of what was left. And so they had nothing, and they starved to death. Similar situations have occurred under despots in Africa. I've seen a film of George Bernard Shaw explaining the necessity that only the fittest and the most intelligent, I think we also said white, but I'm not positive, should be allowed to survive. Our country has been based on the balance of power and having the people remain free. And having the power being more in the hands of the people. To respect and care for all people in agreement with our Father in Heaven, whose plan includes that we each have free agency as an inalienable right, a birthright, not to be given or taken by the government. Now we find that the health care will also decide how long we shall receive medical care. And I have three pages here, and then we're going to discuss, so I would like you to hold your discussion until we get to the end. Received a letter that was sent out, and it's a Tennessee healthcare professional, Dr. Suzanne Allen. She says, I had one of the most troubling, most disturbing conversations ever with the head of emergency, with Julie's sister-in-law, Dr. Suzanne Allen, head of emergency services at the Johnson City Medical Center in Tennessee. We were discussing the future, and I asked her if she had seen any of the effects of the Obamacare health care program in her work. She said, oh, yes, we are already seeing cutbacks through the services we provide. For example, we are now having to deal with patients who would normally receive dialysis can no longer be accepted. In the past, there was always automatic approval under Medicare for anyone who needed dialysis. Not anymore. So what will be their outcome? Oh, they will soon die without dialysis, she said. What about other services? She indicated as of 2013, after the election, no one over 75 will be given major medical procedures unless approved by locally administered ethics panels. These panels will determine whether a patient receives medical treatment or not. While details on specific operating procedures and schedules, Dr. Allen points out that most life-threatening emergencies do not occur during normal hospital business hours, and if there are emergencies that depend to be resolved within a minute or a few hours, the likelihood of getting these panels' approval in time to save a life are going to be very challenging and difficult, if not impossible, she said. This applies to major operations such as receiving stents, bypass surgery, kidney operations, or treating an aneurysm that would normally be covered under Medicare today. In other words, if you need a life-saving operation, Medicare will not provide coverage. 2013, if you're 75 or over. And we haven't been given a specific date in 2013. Could be January or July, but it's after the election. This is shocking to any of us who will be 75 this year. Her advice, get healthy and stay healthy. We do not know the specifics of the actual implementation of the full Obamacare policies and procedures. They haven't filtered down to the local level yet, but we are already seeing severe cuts in what we do provide to the elderly. We refused dialysis to an individual who was just 78 just the other day. We refused to give stents to a gentleman who was in his late 80s. Every day, she said, we are seeing these cutbacks aimed at reducing care across the board for anyone who's over 75.
Oh, my God.
So, she continued, we can only hope that Obamacare will be overturned by the Supreme Court. Otherwise, this is a death sentence to those who are over 75. Perhaps you should pass this on to your friends who are thinking of voting for Obama this year. Whoops, I wasn't going to read that. Regardless, if you have private health care coverage now, I have, she said, what kind she has. It will no longer apply after 2013 if the ethics panels disapprove of a procedure that may save your life. Scary, scary, scary. Think about this. You, your parents, your loved ones. Didn't know about it? Of course not. As Nancy Pelosi said, well, if you want to know what's in the bill, you'll have to read it. That was after the bill was passed. Of course, you guys know the story of the bill. This is a graphic reminder of the need to stay healthy. Get your plot now at Evergreen or your local cemetery while they last. This is a death sentence to those of us who will reach 75. Yes.
So, where do I get a copy of that? I'm on the telephone, and I just checked my email. I didn't see it in something you emailed. It's on UB Hurton website. Is that correct?
That is not on YB Hurton, Joan. I only have the basics on our website, and I always will. However, I will email it to you.
Okay, because I would like to share that with some people. Is that the okay?
Well, that's the idea. Exactly. Now, that's exactly... I've got to put my blinds down. Sun is coming in. I can't even see the computer. For me, sun. Okay. So, then the question again is, what type of bird am I? And listen to Joan. See that ostrich down here at the bottom? Well, she's off and running already.
And what a great introduction, to friends. You know, how are you... to be able to share, well, this is how I'm dealing with it. You know, I use these products or whatever. You know, it's a more serious need to be in good physical shape, just in case.
Exactly. We better get our water purifiers and our air purifiers and learn what we're about here. Exactly. I was going to put a whole wellness film up here, but I finished some of this just this morning. Well, I got these done last night, but I was out yesterday, so I didn't get that much prepared. But exactly right. We Yeah, I have one. But the NECAN answer, pure air and water, more alkaline whole foods. People who are in their 70s particularly will want to be taking 60s and 70s will be wanting to have guzzling down Siaga and grade K greenzymes. They will not want to be having refined artificial sugars and buying a protein supplement of that type. Because you can't have anything that's that harmful in your body because it's going to be causing inflammation, and inflammation, of course, is going to lead to all those health problems. And probably you're going to want to develop a stream of income by helping other people do the same thing so that you'll have plenty of income to be able, enough income anyway, to be able to supply yourself with these necessities. NECAN does, just like Joan said, NECAN does become more of a necessity when you look at what's happening, what we're looking at here. Other comments? And it's all right. If you want to say something, you think this is untrue or you don't think this is... Well,
Ruth, I had seen that article here in my local paper, and I was talking with my cousin the other day. Well, she emailed me, and she said she'd been to the doctor here for her colonoscopy. I think she had been having one every year or something. But anyway, they told her this year that... I think it's every other year that she could have it. So she said, well, the doctor told me to schedule it. They said, well, we're sorry because you have no problems. You don't see any blood. You have no problems. So we just can't do that to you this year. You just have to wait till next year or do you have a problem? And she's 1 year younger than me. So I'm particularly interested in this because I'm not ready for a non-medical group folks to tell me when I can't take medication or when they want me to leave this world, and neither she or anybody else.
Ruth, can you email that to all of us? Because I'd
I will. I'll send it to everybody. I've got you all in a little group. If there's anybody on here on the call, on the phone call that is not on, not regularly on here, and I will need to be sure that I have you in the group, so please speak up if you want to have this article.
But I think this is something we all should be aware of.
Well, I think we'd better share it with our neighbors, too.
Right.
You know, and this is just... Go ahead, Karen.
No, we cannot just sit on this information and not help everyone to understand what we're facing.
And not only us, but children, and sticking up for our friends, like was just stated, that we can't have somebody else deciding what we're going to have. This is only one aspect. I mean, we have the things about children and children that have maybe some kind of birth defect. I mean, and all kinds of things. And control of our food. This is control of our health care. But we also have the problem with Monsanto and the power behind those pharmaceuticals are going to control what we eat.
Yeah. I thought of yesterday, one example of the government dictating our health care, which we don't, I mean, it's been in place for a long time. Everybody knows that iodine was added to salt, and that was the response when they found that section of America, I don't know how many years ago, you know, 50 years ago, a long time ago, that had what's called the goiter belt because there wasn't an iodine in the soil and they had a lot of goiters, you know, popping up. Well, the government is the one that decided that because they said, well, everybody eats sodium salt, so we will put iodine in salt. They don't put it, there's a law, there's a rule. It must be made available. So this is, you know, the political system decided that salt was what was going to get iodine. Well, you know, there are reasons not to eat sodium, high sodium diet, or a sodium diet. People do, in fact, restrict their salt. Well, that means you're restricting your iodine. Well, that means you are, you know, incapacitating your thyroid, potentially, you know, causing difficulties for your thyroid if you don't eat vegetables that have enough sodium in them. Anyway, but that's an example where the government, you know, just law, decided to be our doctors.
I guess that we're one of the, that's right, thank you, Joan. One of the things I think is pretty much upsetting all of us is that this was rammed through Congress.
Oh,
in
sure.
Essentially in an illegal manner. And so it's not something like our elected representative, well, they did, I guess. They got it through, but we've got, hopefully this whole bill will be called unfit.
Can't hear you, Ruth.
Thank you, Steve. I got there. That must be better.
Yeah.
My little microphone slipped. Okay, anybody else?
Well, one of the things that I think we really ought to be concerned about is that whether Obamacare passes or not, that I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, because it certainly does matter, but, you know, we're finding that even local counties and cities and whatever, it's like Bloomberg this morning, and we all know about how he feels about oversized sugar drinks. Well, this morning there's an article, it's called Health Panel Talks About Wider Food Ban, and the two that they're talking about now and banning in New York or limiting in New York is popcorn.
Oh my God.
And also milk, things like milkshakes and all that sort of stuff that comes from the use of milk that has sugar in it, that they're already, and the board has already approved it, or they discussed it yesterday, about limiting the size of those two things. So once the ostrich sticks his head in the ground and it says, well, that really doesn't matter, or I don't really care, because, well, that's a good thing to be doing, we know also that once they start attacking those kind of foods, that based upon how they people feel about certain vegetables or organic foods or whatever, that the bans all of a sudden just keep getting more and more. And you happen to mention in your page one about how certain political leaders did certain things that weren't kosher and proper, but you're going to start finding it even in the cities to where you live, that they're going to start banning certain things. And the whole idea is maybe some of the stuff is good that they ban, as far as we're concerned, in some of the food that we have understood not to be helpful to our body. But trust me, it ain't going to stop there.
Well,
yeah,
but the problem is that once they convince you that it's okay to ban this or that, they can ban other things. And so what it boils down to is that every human being should have the agency to choose what they want. Now, I think that we should, you know, if the government wants to do something, well, then educate people. Give out information, but people still need to be the ones who make their own choice, not some government bureaucrat.
Exactly. So we need to educate, and that's our goal. And so we really need to get out there and educate our friends and our neighbors. I don't know, and does anybody have any ideas exactly about how you might go about doing that, starting with your neighbors and your family?
Well, I think taking this thing that you just shared with us and first let them know, when you get into the mode of thinking that you can tell people what they should do, then it will just expand and go much further. And we need to educate people about this freedom of choice.
And speaking out. Now we have on the screen, together we can change the world one home at a time. But we do have to make time. We can't just be quiet here, especially with the election coming up. And we can present some points of view, specifically like the one we just went through, of what the changes will be. Obama said he was going to change the world or change our country. But what are some of the things some of you are doing right now, have already been doing?
You mean about what? Changing what?
About Charlene. Just really quick, just tell what Charlene, your daughter, did.
Oh, she put on an initiative in the state of North Dakota, and they went out, she organized people, and they went out and got enough signatures that they were able to put it on the ballot to vote that North Dakota could do away with property tax. You see, the Constitution, it doesn't say it in exact words, but in essence it tells us that we do have the right to own property. And yet none of us own our property. We pay the banks and pay off our loan for our home or whatever, but in reality you don't own that home. It is owned by the state of Washington or whatever state you live in, and then you pay rent. Well, Charlene got this on the ballot, and they worked their hearts out. I cannot tell you how hard she worked. It was defeated pretty resoundingly. But this is what they have learned because of the process. They now know what news media is an open media that allows unfettered information,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to what medias are very tied into the establishment. They learned that.
Well,
and
what media was that, Karen?
Well, it's different ones in their area. They learned what newspapers are tied into the establishment, which ones will allow true information to come out. Because the reason why they defeated it, they were defeated, is because the information that came out was, well, if you vote to do away with property tax, you'll lose your firefighters, you'll lose your teachers, you'll lose all the construction and improvements of your roads. And they went on and painted a terrible picture. Well, of course people don't want to lose those things, so they voted against it. But as time has gone on, they slowly were getting the information out. Now they're going to go back, and they're doing the same thing all over again, only this time they're going to be a whole lot wiser. And by the way, Rush Limbaugh day before yesterday, did a whole big segment on what they were doing up there, and it really turned around a lot of people who were against it. There were a lot who then began to see the light. But we have to have freedom of the press, or you just won't be able to get your information out. Anyway, Charlene is, they're going to go back and do this again. By the way, she's the one who also got on the ballot that the state of North Dakota, people who went in and opened up a bank account, the bank could not just automatically sell your information. There was a law, which all of us were under, that the banks could sell our information unless we went and signed a paper. And Charlene says, no, that's not the way it goes. If you don't mind if the banks take your information and sell it, then, that's okay. But you don't have to sign a paper to protect yourself against it. Anyway, the bottom line is that one won resoundingly, and now all of us through all the states have been able to have our agency or our freedom preserved about the bank selling our information. So it's really important that people get involved.
Okay, so that's one person who's really gotten involved, and she has been very educated about the importance of these things because she was brought up that way. I watched that and learned from that. So then I want to ask how many of you have been involved, or not you don't have to say so, but have you been involved in your local politics so that you can find out who those people are and get together with them, and did you go to vote in the caucuses or the primary? And so, of course, voting is a big thing. But if there are some other things kind of in between there that you've done, we have, our time is kind of up, but if you have other things, I'll just kind of tell me what they are in maybe a short sentence.
Ruth, everybody needs to go and sit in on school board meetings, and they need to sit in on city council meetings. We don't pay attention to our lawmakers right here locally.
Mm-hmm. Okay, those are good ones.
I like the phrase that democracy is not a spectator sport.
Oh,
very good. Thank you, John. That is for sure. Now, freedom is not free. Especially when we have so many big pharmaceutical or big businesses that are lobbying and taking control.
Yeah.
Anyone else have something that that would be suggest that we do?
Well, I persist anyway with physicians about the importance of, you know, Nikon type, you know, healthcare, you know, support. And since I'm gonna forward you, it's very discouraging, but I'm gonna forward you a response that I got from Michael Victoroff, a family practice physician in Colorado. And it's very discouraging because I gave him really good hard data links, and but I'm persisting. What I'm gonna do is persist, you know, and I'm just gonna, you know, just offer information and say, well, I'm not sure. How do you explain this? Is this a fluke here where my friend who had, you know, breast cancer treated it? Was she misdiagnosed? Or what are you going to say about this one? Or what are you going to? At any rate, I am persisting. I am persisting.
That's a very hard,
good
word for us to think about is persisting and not, you know, we go out and we talk to people and goes back to that. Offer Nikan to people, and if they say no, I'll just say next. And,
right.
And so maybe this is a new attitude.
Right.
We can offer information to people and then persist instead of saying next. But actually, you can probably cover more people if you do go to the next one. But I'm glad that the guy persisted in telling me about Nikan.
Took how many times?
Six.
It's like water. I mean, slowly your ears get a little more open, you know, just a little more open. I think somebody mentioned that on Monday or Tuesday or whatever day it was, about the head in the sand. Oh, well, let's just put our head in the sand and take another aspirin or something, you know.
Yes, that's on my slide.
Right.
Okay, you guys, I'll give you something different to think about today. Thank you for joining us, and have a great day. Our time's up, and we'll be talking to you again tomorrow.
And
if you
thank
have
you, Ruth.
New
good
ideas
call.
Or something you want to send to me for the calls that you'd like to have discussed or like to lead a discussion with it, let me know. I'll make up some slides for you, or you can make up your own. So everyone have a great day. Go out there and do something about it.
Okay. See ya.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Ruth.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.